Good morning. It's Saturday, 5th of December. Our New Testament reading today is Hebrews 12. I'm reading to you once again from Brother John Carter. I read, "The opening of the way to everlasting life was by the death of Christ, as all the types showed. As captain, Jesus suffered and endured the cross, a circumstance very distasteful to them, the Hebrews, and a stumbling block to the faith of all the Jews. It was a shameful thing to be spat upon and derided and beaten, and then, worst of all, to be crucified. But he endured the shame of it all, and he did it by faith in the promise of God, by which he saw the joy set before him. And encouraged by this prospect, he was sustained and triumphed. He now knows that joy then contemplated, for at the Father's right hand are pleasures for evermore. If Christ endured the suffering and the shame, could not they endure the reproach of association with him? Paul calls them to patience, and he uses the same word of Jesus. He endured. If anything would stir their flagging energies, surely this consideration of Jesus as the example in this respect would do it. He had suffered and died that they might live. Would they be deserters or fall out of the race with such an example before them? He had despised shame and disgrace. He had to be a sign spoken against, as was prophesied in Luke chapter 2. Why should they fear the evil speaking of those who had abused their master? The patience of Jesus in holding fast to his faith had cost him his life. To this extent, they had not suffered. But it was a possibility ahead, indicated in the words that they had not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. If they now resisted the temptation to the sin of apostasy, they might become martyrs for their faith, but as yet that had not been the outcome. It has been suggested that Paul changes his figure from the race to the boxing match in using the word striving. The sudden transition from one figure to the other occurs in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it may be so here. In that case, he means that they had not resisted sin hard enough as to draw blood. This is an implied reproof. They had capitulated somewhat to avoid suffering. Such an attitude indicated a failure to recognise God's method of preparing his sons for glory. The principle had been set forth in the Proverbs, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." It is discipline, of course, that is before us here, not chastening in a sense of punishment for sins, or as the outcome of God's displeasure. Nay, it is a mark of favour, for such exercise is of God to train them for a high destiny. It is only for sons that God has such an end in view. Those outside his family are not the subjects of such a training springing from fatherly love. I'm jumping two pages in the book now to read this paragraph. The present experience may be an affliction, but it is rightly viewed when it is looked at in the relation to the future. It must be seen as part of a process of preparation. Hence the Apostle says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. May those wonderful words be a comfort to all of us in whatever circumstance we find ourselves now. Thank you for listening.